Is this the Owens residence? I'm Mr. Belvedere.
Hey everybody, this is Angela Bowen, the host of Tea Time with Mr. Belvedere, Mr. Belvedere Podcast. Well, today we are going to be doing the first of two Wesley episodes for season two. This is season 2, episode 4, entitled Requiem, which aired on October 18th, 1985. Wesley blames himself when his accordion teacher dies during a lesson. He wished something bad would happen to him, and by coincidence, it does. Oh, Wesley. So we begin with a cold open in the Owens' living room. Wesley is having his accordion lesson. So is this something like he got to choose which instrument that he wanted to learn how to play and he chose the accordion? So Wesley kind of keeps messing up and everything, and the his music instructor is trying to get him to kind of get on the beat. And the guy gets frustrated and calls Wesley a communist? What? Okay. So Wesley's having trouble with the accordion part and everything like that. He's got the fingering he's not that great at either. And the guy kind of is like, you know, if you'd have practiced more, you wouldn't be having this problem. You would have gotten it by now. It's like, I know, like, guy, stop punishing him or whatever you're doing. I know you're trying to help, but dang. You don't gotta belittle the kid.
Again, Wesley, again. Tempo, Wesley, tempo. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. Do that.
This thing together.
If you had practiced more, you'd know how to do it. Now, let's try it again from the beginning. And remember, this is the beer barrel poker, not some funeral dirge. Try to feel the spirit of the music. Imagine you're in Bavaria in a beautiful little village. All the people are gay.
They're gay?
They're happy. Because they just had a bountiful harvest of cabbage and potatoes, and now they're like drinking bands.
Why?
Because somebody wrote this stupid song, now do it! And don't practice correctly, you are wasting your time and mine.
Sorry, Mr. Zabriskie.
Don't be sorry. Be good. All right. One more time. Beer barrel polka. This time, we'll take it a little slower, all right? Ready? And. Better. Much better.
Too slow? Zabriskie? Mr. Zabriskie?
Lesson over already?
Yeah, I guess so.
So, his accordion teacher tells Wesley to pretend he's in a village, and the villagers just got their cabbage, their harvest for the end of the season, they're celebrating, blah 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 blah, and it's just like, think of it, you know, it's not a funeral, just think of it as a fun, a party, a celebration, and just kind of put some life into the your piece that you're playing. And he's like, yeah, they're gay, they're whatever. And Wesley looks at him like, they're gay? And the teacher's like, they're happy. Of course, you know, you got in the 80s, they throw in a weird gay joke or something like that. Like, come on now. So while Wesley is practicing, George and Belvedere are in the kitchen. And they, you know, Belvedere's probably trying to get dinner going or... And he's getting frustrated. He wants to go down to the basement, and George is calling him a coward. And, of course, George is blaming Belvedere, like, this is your fault. And Belvedere's like, I, you know, told him to, you know, take music lessons of some sort. I didn't tell him to take up the accordion. George took Wesley to a baseball game, and an accordion player did the Star Spangled Banner. And, of course, that kind of piqued Wesley's interest when it came to choosing an instrument. And they're all, it's basically on Wednesdays, once a week for an hour that he does this. The guy comes over to the house and Wesley has this lesson. And everyone's just like, it's only been 7 minutes into the lesson, so they got 53 more minutes. Kevin comes in, he says how the Huffnagel's dog is like yelping and running around in circles thinking there's a storm coming, and then he hears Wesley's playing, like, oh, well, that's actually why the dog is freaking out. And he's like, I gotta study, how long is this going to go on for? It's like, everyone's just, they're tired of it. And then Wesley's teacher kind of says, hey, let's just take it slower this time. He sits down on the couch, and Wesley's kind of using the keys and everything. Like, he's not really doing so much as smushing it to the accordion part together or anything. He does say it's kind of hard to do that. And the teacher ends up just kind of nodding off. He ends up dying. He just, boom, passes away like that. And Wesley's just kind of looking at him like, hey, is that good? And he's still looking at him. That's when George comes in. And he's like, oh, wow, your lesson's done already? And Wesley's like, I guess. I don't know. Of course, George kind of bends down and shouts for Belvedere. Like, we have a situation here. And then the intro pops up. So we come out of the intro, and the paramedics are there. One of the paramedics is on the phone just saying that CPR was administered by the housekeeper, so Belvedere did give him mouth-to-mouth. Unfortunately, it didn't really do any good because he was dead. Yeah, and Wesley had to see that. So, as far as this is probably one of the first deaths, human deaths, that Wesley has ever really had to face, that someone's died in the house. That's, and Wesley's like, what, 8, 9 years old? So this has got to be really something that he's going to be dealing with. Because now I'm sure he's going to be racked with guilt since the guy died in his house while he was doing his accordion lesson.
CPR was administered by the housekeeper. We took over upon arrival with no success.
It isn't polite to stare.
Come on, don't do that.
Sorry, George. The paramedic said we did everything we could.
We? You did everything. I just stood doing nothing.
Oh, that's not true. You offered him a cigarette.
That's all I could think of.
Mr. Owens, if you'll sign this release, we'll be on our way.
Sure.
Thanks. So you tipped these guys or what?
I don't think so.
I knew that.
Relax, George.
Relax. Mr. Music just croaks in my living room, and I'm supposed to have a party? Sorry.
Thank you.
much. Yeah. See you next time. Have a nice day.
Well, that certainly broke up the day.
So is Wes still upstairs?
Yes, I left him with Kevin.
Knowing you, I'll bet you already broke the news about Zabriskie kicking the bucket.
No.
Well, why not?
Because I thought you'd want to tell him.
Yeah, and I'm gonna. It's just death. It's a big thing. And I gotta be careful I do it right.
Perhaps the direct approach is the best. Like when you fire me.
No, that never works. You gotta sugarcoat it a little. Like I did when Mr. Slowpoke died.
Who?
Mr. Slowpoke, his turtle. I mean, I just didn't go up and say, hey, Wes, I ran over your little pal with the lawnmower. First, I sat him down, had some ice cream and cookies, and then we joked around a little. Then I told him.
Hey, Dad?
So, yeah, pretty much the paramedics come, they take the body and leave. Belvedere pretty much did everything he could to resuscitate Mr. B, Mr. Music Man, whatever you want to call him. And unfortunately, it was too late. He was already gone. And George is kind of beating himself up, but more kind of kicking himself, I guess, for not being able to do more. And they're kind of discussing, you know, who's going to tell Wesley about this, because Belvedere had Kevin take Wesley upstairs so he didn't, you know, see them removing the body and everything. But I can imagine, you know, Wes is 9 years old, he's going to have questions regarding death, because this man died in their house. And it wasn't just some ordinary man, it was his music teacher. So, George thinks Belvedere already did it, and he's like, well, I'm not doing that, you're his father. You tell him about it. And then George brings up a time where he killed Mr. Slowpoke, which was Wesley's turtle that he had. I guess George ran over it with the lawnmower. Ooh, that sounds so gross. And the way that he kind of told Wesley about it was he didn't, like, flat out tell him. They, like, you know, had some milk and cookies. They joked around for a bit. And then he let him down gently. So now Kevin is bringing Wesley out, like, hey, Dad, is it all right that I bring Wesley down since the body's not here anymore? So George tells Kevin and Wes to come down the stairs and everything, and as soon as Wesley's on the last step, he asks, where's Mr. Dabrowski, or however you say his name? And right away, George is avoiding the question. So he's like, hey, let's have some ice cream and chocolate chip cookies in the kitchen. Well, gee, isn't that going to make Wes's mind flash back to when his turtle was killed? Oh, he's dead, huh? Because in Wes's mind, I mean, they probably had him upstairs as soon as George figured out that he was dead. It's like, okay, Kevin, take him upstairs. So he doesn't know that the guy's dead. He probably thinks he just left. Yep. Wes is like, oh, he's dead, huh? Like, yeah, he knows. He knows. So, Wes starts in with the questions, like, oh, how'd he die? And George is like, well, the old squeeze box gave out. Like, you know, and just saying that, you know, the guy, he wasn't a spring chicken. He was pretty up there in age, so, yeah.
Hey, Dad? Is it okay?
Yeah, hey, sure. Come on, guys. Calm down.
How's Mr. Zabriskie?
Hey, champ, what say we head to the kitchen, have some ice cream and chocolate chip cookies, huh?
Dead, huh?
Yeah, he is.
How come he died?
Well, he was no spring chicken. I guess the old squeeze box kind of gave out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, thanks.
So Heather and Marcia come home from shopping. Heather is excited because she got high heels, which Marcia does say it's only for the dance. And I guess in a lot of girls' lives that, you know, they like to wear the heels and everything. And having high heels is almost like a milestone in there. Like, it's almost like girls feel like it's a step up into adulthood getting their first pair of high heels, I guess. I mean, I don't wear high heels or anything like that or any form of heel. So, just regular shoes for me. But so, Heather says her date, Wayne, I believe, is 6'4", so I guess those heels are going to kind of help her get closer to his height. And she says his parents say he's still growing, so is he what, like 15, 16? I thought guys kind of stopped growing around, like, age 18. So, Wesley says, my accordion teacher died, and Marcia's like, oh, really? And Wesley's like, oh, his squeeze box gave out. And Mr. Belvedere kind of clarifies, well, he had a heart attack. So Marcia asks, you know, when did it happen? And George is like right in the middle of the beer barrel polka. And she's like, oh, it happened during Wesley's lesson? Like, yeah, he died right here, right where Heather's sitting, actually. And Wesley is going to point that out right now. And sure enough, as soon as he points, like, oh, he died right there where Heather's sitting, she jumps right up like, ooh. So I want to play this clip as Marcia kind of kneels on the floor by Wesley, who's on the couch, and just asks, you know, is there anything you want to talk about? And, you know, he's 9. He's probably confused. He probably doesn't have a lot of questions yet, but he probably will have some later on. He's probably still, his mind is still processing. Like, he just found out that his teacher died. So, but I don't think he was that close with him. And I kind of wonder if maybe, like, getting so worked up, working around kids and stuff, maybe contributed to his music teacher's heart attack, would be my guess.
Honey, are you okay?
Yeah, I guess.
Do you want to talk about it?
Not really.
Well, we're right here, pal, just in case you change your mind.
Thanks. I think I just want to go to my room now, okay?
Yeah, good idea. You go up and rest, and later on we'll go ice cream and turtle shopping.
So Wesley really doesn't want to talk. He just decides to go up to his room. His parents say, yeah, don't just go upstairs and kind of think and whatnot. But if you want to talk, we are here. I don't know what the fuck is going on with this DVD player. The damn color's going out, which is a bunch of bullshit because I just got this fucking thing. Like, I thought it was close to the beginning of the year. It's like, what the hell? I didn't pay a shit ton for this damn thing, but it should fucking be. I mean, damn it. The color's going out. Soon it's going to stop playing. I'm fucking irritated. So in the next scene, Kevin is downstairs and Heather wants him to practice with her, like, for when her date gets there, and she's kind of walking in the heels down the steps so she doesn't fall. She's kind of practicing. It's like, so I'm guessing this dance thing's got to be, like, plot B. Okay, here's the thing. Heather, if you have not walked in high heels, the last thing you're going to want to do is try to walk down the stairs. If you haven't even mastered walking, period, in them, do not try the stairs. You are going to fall and break your damn neck. Even if you have a railing there to hold you up. Just master walking on a flat surface first. Quinn, why are you going into the bathroom? So Heather even has Kevin assimilate the role of her date, Wayne. He's got a couple heavy books that he's standing on to try to make it look like he's 6'4", which is how tall Wayne is. And she's kind of stumbling down the damn stairs. My God. Do we get to even see Wayne? I bet we don't. And she stumbles down the stairs and grabs onto Kevin's shirt as she stumbles. That's like, oh my God. Yeah. Good thing you did that with your brother and not with your date. Because that would have been really embarrassing. Now that she's on the flat floor, she's like, all right, Kevin, dance with me. Like, what? He's like, no. Well, she's got to practice. So apparently, Marcia had Kevin take all these dancing lessons, as Heather brings it up, because she wants to learn how to dance, you know, to slow songs, because they're going to be playing a lot of slow songs at this dance, and she needs to practice. You're not going to want to be dancing in high heels. You're probably going to want to take those off and just dance in your bare feet or your stocking feet. So Kevin's got he's got Heather kind of in his arms, and he's kind of waltzing around the room with her and everything. And she's kind of hanging on him and stumbling around. So, and he's kind of, like, humming that song, Heaven,
I'm in heaven. You know that song? If you saw The Green Mile, that was the song that was playing in that old black and white movie. So Kevin's getting a little carried away, and he's kind of whirling her around, and he ends up dipping her, and she falls onto the couch. He's like, oh, sorry, I got carried away. Now we're moving back to plot A with Wesley and George and Belvedere in the kitchen. George is feeding Wesley all kinds of crap, from potato chips, cookies. Are those popcorn balls? And then he's like putting whipped cream on something, a plate of something. Wesley's just looking at his dad like, please, no more. I can't eat any more food. Apparently this is how George deals with telling Wesley about death. Skip the food. It's not going to make it any easier, and you're going to make him sick.
Here we go, champ. One Matterhorn special. How about a refill on the old chocolate milk?
No, thanks. You have a vegetable or something?
Just finish your cake first, and then we'll see.
Hey, Wes, what say we go outside and play a little catch? Okay, let's do something else. Let's bother Belvedere. We'll give him a hot for it.
I had that.
I just want to go to my room, okay?
Sure, pal. Whatever you say.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Hello, Miss Evans.
Where's Wes?
Upstairs.
He say anything more about Mr. Zabriskie?
He couldn't. His mouth was full.
I'm just trying to make him feel better.
Well, I picked up some books from the library that might help.
Oh, great. Why the cat won't come back?
See, the thing is, Wesley knows that Mr. Zabriskie died, but I'm not sure he understands what that means. Now, this book says you've got to deal with it flat out.
Once upon a time, little Johnny Smith had a cat named Whiskers. Whiskers was a fun cat. Whiskers loved his ball of string. One day, Whiskers followed his string into a busy street.
Here comes the flat part.
George.
Mrs. Owens, I think that Wesley might be a little bit too old for this.
Yeah, well, then how about this one? It says that it's important that children understand that while death is a very sad thing, it's just a normal and inevitable part of life.
Sexual dilemmas. Roadmap for the 80s?
That's for us.
Happy motoring.
So, Wesley looks at all this food. He turns to Mr. Belvedere, is like, can I have a vegetable or something? And Belvedere's like, not until you finish your cake. And Wesley finds, like, can I just go upstairs? I just want to go upstairs and be alone. And George is like, yeah, sure, buddy, whatever you want to do. And then Marcia comes in. She's loaded down with books, but they're not school books. They're books from the library, one of which Belvedere actually reads something about a cat, Mr. Whiskers, who plays with a ball of yarn. It goes into the street. Cat gets hit by a car. And Belvedere kind of closes the book and is like, you know, I think Wesley's a bit too old for this one. And then Marcia has like one of those self-help books when dealing with children and death and stuff like that. There's also one that's specifically for George and Marcia dealing with, you know, the sexual revolution or whatever in the 80s or something like that. Oh, the musician, the teacher's name is Zabruski. Okay, Zabruski. I thought it started with a B. Okay, I'm looking at the book that Marcia is reading from. I'm not sure what the cover is. It looks like she's reading about death, right? If you look at the cover, it's a cover of a bare-chested man. You can see he's wearing a white t-shirt. You can't even see, you see his pectorals, so his chest, and then his six-pack abs. And then you can kind of see down below where his black jeans are or whatever. It's like, what in the world? I don't know, whoever was in the props department, but here, what, they just give her a book and say, here, read from this? That is just from the script, basically, it's just children dealing with death. So the book that George and Marcia got is Sexual Dilemmas Roadmap for the 80s, because this is like 85. So she's like, no, that's for us. Dilemmas? What dilemmas could they have in their sex life? Come on. It seems like they're always making innuendos about sex. Well, George is always making innuendos about their sex life. And it must not be that bad if she almost gets knocked up in season 3. We'll get to that episode. Ooh. So, I was about Wesley's age. I was 7 going on 8 when my grandpa Cliffman passed away, my mom's dad. And I really didn't understand death too much. That was the first death I've actually dealt with as a child. And I remember I was currently living at my aunt and uncle's house because my mom was put in an assisted living center. My dad was working third shift. And I was seeing one of the sister nuns for counseling. And she had brought over a book that actually, and this was in 1990. And it was a book that dealt with a child who had lost a grandparent. And it was, you know, a children's book. It was illustrated. And she just kind of went through it with me and everything to kind of help me cope. But I think it just made me merely uncomfortable just that I had to have counseling and none of my cousins did. It just felt weird. I didn't like being singled out like that. But, and I remember at the funeral that, because the funeral, it was June 1st, I thought. It was like, because school was still in session for like that week. And I would have been in first grade, and I remember being pulled out of class for the funeral. And then we also had to get my older sister, Nicole, who I think was taking a test at the time. She was, you know, in junior high, so we had to get her. And I remember that morning, I thought we had, like, Dad and I went to go get groceries or something prior to, or maybe that was the day before or something. I can't remember. But anyway, I remember, like, having this, like, it was, like, the March of Dimes. Like, they handed these little, they looked like little metal candy cane things, but it was just, like, a number that you could call, like, support, you know, March of Dimes or something like that. And it was probably supposed to represent, like, a walking cane or something like that. Anyway, I remember I had it in my pocket when I was at the funeral. And I was, like, really tired or something. And I ended up falling asleep during the funeral. Mind you, I was 7 years old. And I think it was, like, a full-service funeral. And I remember someone kind of jabbing me in the side, telling me to wake up. So that was how I processed that. The next real death I think I would have dealt with would have been my mother's, and by then I was 20 years old, so I had been able to process it a bit more since then. So, and in that time I've also lost my dad's dad, which I was close to my dad's dad, my Grandpa Rash, who passed away 4 years ago, almost 4 years ago. I also lost my mom's mom, you know, as well as my mother, but I wasn't really close to my mom's mom that much. So anyway, that's just my take on dealing with death for the first time as a 7 year old. That you probably don't understand it, and it's best that someone, I mean, not so much to sugarcoat it as a parent, but I would, like, just give you them the information that they seek in the best way possible that they can understand it. I mean, I know there's books now, there's, you know, even children's books about children dealing with death and stuff like that, and just, because death is a big, big deal. Especially to a child. It can seem scary. It took me a bit probably to process that he, you know, wouldn't be here anymore and everything and what that meant that he was, so. So Belvedere's in the dining room kind of setting up dinner or setting, you know, the place settings and everything. Heather's wobbling over in her shoes saying, oh, I think I'm getting the hang of this. Well, you're still stumbling a little bit. Wesley comes out. He just went upstairs. Now he's coming back downstairs. And Heather looks at him and it's like, is that my chewy gooey bar? And he's like, yeah, Dad said I could have this. And she's like, no, give it back. And he's like, no, leave me alone. He's just... So, in a way, it's almost like, I'm angry because this happened. I'm going to take it out on you. And you can't do anything because this is how I'm dealing with death. Like, you can't use that as an excuse to act like a little shithead. You can't. I think they need to kind of assess Wesley's... basically what's going on with him. It's like... it's fine that you're upset about this teacher's death, but of course you're going to learn later that he feels like he caused it. Spoiler alert. But that is not an excuse to act like a dickhead to people.
Better? I love these shoes. They make me feel so sophisticated.
Hey, is that my gooey chewy bar?
Dad said I could have it.
Yeah, well, it's mine. I bought it for me.
Just leave me alone.
Wesley, hand it over.
No!
Hey, just because something happens to your teacher doesn't mean you get to have everything.
Ow!
Oh, Heather! Heather, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm sorry. I won't do it again. I promise.
Wesley, what are you talking about?
I made her fall.
What?
I wish something bad would happen to Heather. Just like I wish something bad would happen to Mr. Zabriskie. Except he died.
I think this is yours.
So Heather bought that for herself. George wouldn't say, oh, here, have Heather's candy bar, the one she bought with her own damn money. It's like, no! I know your kid's feeling down in the dumps over this, but don't get... Anyway, she goes to reach for it. Wesley pulls back on the candy bar. Heather trips and falls over her own feet because she's still not totally there yet with wearing the heels. And Wesley immediately freaks out. He's like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Here, you can have the candy bar. And Belvedere's watching this go down. He comes over to Heather, like, Heather, are you all right? As he kind of helps her up. And she's like, yeah, I'm fine. And he sees Wesley's reaction, like, whoa, buddy, what's going on here? And that's when Wesley is like, well, I wish something bad to happen to Heather, just like I did with Mr. Zabruski, and he died. Heather, of course, gives Wesley the candy bar back, like, here you go. She puts it in his pocket and leaves. So now it's like, okay, this Wesley's upset because he feels he caused Mr. Zabruski's death because he wanted something bad to happen to him. Like, no, no, that it's just a mere coincidence that the man passed away in your house. You didn't cause anything. You don't have that kind of power, Wesley, but You really don't. Nobody does. You can wish something bad on something, on somebody or something, and if it happens, it's like, you're not cursed. That was a coincidence. You didn't cause that. So now Mr. Belvedere kind of want to get to the bottom, like, now we know what the problem is and why Wesley's acting like this. Now it's best to kind of get a little more information and kind of set him straight. See, George? See? You don't stuff his face with food and ignore the problem. You let Wesley come to you and let this all come out and deal with it that way. Mr. Belvedere knows what he's doing. You know, he doesn't even have to really hack away at what the problem is and keep throwing questions at them. They will just spill it out eventually. He's got that demeanor about him that kids feel, you know, they feel comfortable letting... you know, him know what the problem is.
Wesley, don't be ridiculous. You didn't kill Mr. Zabriskie.
He just kept yelling and yelling at me, making me play a stupid beer belly polka over and over. And I just looked at him and thought, I wish you were dead, and then he was.
Wesley, whatever you thought had nothing to do with it. It was simply coincidence.
No, it wasn't.
Now, I know you're upset because he died in your house right in front of you, but it was not your fault.
This isn't the first time.
Oh.
I remember this kid at school that kept picking on me, and I wish something would happen to him, and he fell off the monkey bars and broke his arm.
Wesley.
And then I had this teacher that kept calling on me, and I wish something would happen to her, and she got pregnant.
Wesley, I'm certain you had nothing to do with that. Wesley, we're in Beaver Falls, not the Twilight Zone. You're obviously distraught, and I think you should talk to your parents.
Don't tell Mom and Dad.
Why not?
Because then they'll get all upset and start yelling at me. And you know what happens to people that yell at me? I'm scared something will happen to them.
Fine. I won't say a word for now. Anyway, I'm tired of all this chit-chat. Go and clean your room.
I already cleaned it.
The ceiling?
Mom.
And when you're finished with that, you can vacuum the stairs and go weed my garden.
Hey, you're just trying to make me mad on purpose.
Well, we are getting smart, you snotty little dish rag.
You can't call me that.
I can call you anything I choose. And what's more, we're having liver and onions for dinner, so there.
Oh, yeah?
Wesley, you seem to be rather angry with me. And I appear to be all right.
Yeah, I guess so.
In fact, I feel wonderful. Excuse me.
So Wesley kind of tells Belvedere that this isn't the first time that this has happened. You know, I wish that this kid who was picking on me on the playground would get hurt, and he broke his arm from the monkey bars when he fell. And then he also says his teacher, he wanted something bad to happen to her, and she got pregnant. And Belvedere just looked at Wesley like, I don't think you had anything to do with that. So Wesley kind of says it happens whenever he gets mad. He wishes something bad happened to people, and it does. So Belvedere purposely irritates Wesley and gets him worked up. And then basically to show Wesley that nothing bad can happen. Like, I feel fine. He didn't do anything. But of course, Belvedere goes to go into the kitchen, and who's coming out of the kitchen door at the same time? Well, George and Marcia, and sure enough, boom, right in the face. And George was Belvedere was carrying a tray of something, so.
Whoa! Watch where you're going there, Butterfingers.
Sorry. You okay, Mr. Belvedere?
I'm perfectly fine. No harm done.
Honey, I think we should talk about what happened.
Just now?
No, about Mr. Zabriskie. We just want to make sure you understand everything.
I understand. Honey, when I was just about your age, my grandma Pearl died. When I would go into her kitchen and she wasn't there, I'd get very sad. Do you know what made me feel better? It's remembering her when she was alive. Remembering the cookies she baked and the smell of her apron and all the good times we had together.
I didn't have any good times with Mr. Zabriskie.
You smelled a little.
So, Marcia and George want to talk to Wesley. Marcia takes Wesley over to the couch and kind of sits down with him. She says, when I was about your age, I lost my grandma. And when I go into the kitchen, you know, I'd always feel sad because she used to bake and everything like that. And, you know, she'd just think about the good times. And Wesley just kind of side-eyes her like, I didn't have any good times with Mr. Zabriskie. It's like, yeah, it's not like he was close to this guy. The guy was his music teacher. He didn't have any real relationship with him other than the guy yelled at him all the time. And Wesley says, well, the guy smelled sometimes. Well, he probably smelled like an elderly person. So in the next scene, George is kind of helping Belvedere with the plates and everything after dinner. He's like, I'm just helping you out. And Belvedere turns to George and is like, what do you want, bone marrow? Like, Belvedere sees this as, okay, you don't just help me out for the heck of it. There's a reason. So, actually, George is kind of, like, fishing for information. He asks, hey, did Wes say anything to you? And Belvedere's like, well, he always talks to me. But George is, like, more specific in regarding to what happened to Mr. Zabriskie and everything. So, George is like, yeah, with Mr. Zabriskie, you know, it just sense there's something wrong with Wesley. And Belvedere, he's not going to betray your confidence. He's like, you need to talk to Wesley about this, okay? This is between you and your son. So Marcia comes in the kitchen, tells George that she got off the phone with Mr. Zabriskie's sister. So was the guy not married? Was he a widow? And I guess they're having kind of a wake and bake service, like a funeral or something like that. And they'd like Wesley along with Mr. Zabruski's other musical students to kind of do a little performance or something at the funeral.
I just got off the phone with Mr. Zabruski's sister. They're having a thing for him tomorrow, and she wants Wesley to come.
What kind of thing? Picnic?
No, George.
It's the F word, isn't it?
A funeral. Yes, George.
Yeah, with the creepy music and the old ladies crying and all the people saying, oh, doesn't he look natural? Hey, the kids had enough.
Which kid?
They want Wes and some of the other students to play a little something in honor of Mr. Zabruski. It'll be nice.
Actually, a funeral can help people deal with their loss. And help people resolve their feelings, whatever they may be.
All right. All right, if it's okay with Wes, it's okay with me.
I'll go talk to him.
I wash you dry.
So now we're at the funeral, and Wesley's kind of set up there with his accordion, because Mr. Zabruski's sister kind of wanted Wesley and some of the other students that Mr. Zabruski taught to do a little number at the funeral, and she kind of fixes his tie, because it's kind of choking off his air supply, and she's like, alright, you and your little friends just, whatever. It's like, those aren't his friends. I don't think he ever had any contact with the other students that Mr. Zabruski taught. But whatever. So Belvedere comes in and he's guiding Heather, who has to be in her heels. Why? Because it's plot B, apparently. It's got to center around Heather and these dang high heels she insists on wearing to a funeral. Why? And apparently, what, George needs assistance, too? What's wrong with him? He doesn't like funerals? I mean, no one likes funerals, but he's really got ants in his pants about regarding death and everything. I think George has got an underlining problem they need to address.
You okay, honey?
My tie's too tight.
You and your friends ready for your big number?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, we'll break a leg.
Who's?
All right, everybody. We're almost there.
Hey, I'm okay. I'm just a little overheated.
Heather, ready to solo?
I think so. I can walk! I can walk!
I'm George Owens.
Oh, Wesley's father. I am Rose, Peter's sister.
Peter who?
Zabriskie.
Oh, I see the resemblance. Not now, before.
Yes. Oh, and we're all so sorry it had to happen in front of young Wesley.
Oh, that reminds me. Here's $10.
Well, thank you. Is this for a better seat?
Oh, no. That was for Wes's last lesson. I didn't get a chance to pay for it. Of course, the lesson only lasted 10 minutes. But, what the hell? It's severance pay.
Our condolences, madam.
So Belvedere looks at Heather like, hey, Heather, do you think you'd handle this on your own? And she starts walking down the aisle, like walking naturally, no stumbling or anything. She's like, I can walk! I can walk! Of course it's funny because it's in a church. And it's almost like, oh, a miracle, she can walk in heels. Like, okay. Now we have George. He was speaking to Peter Zabruski's sister. And he's like, well, who's Peter? And she's like, Mr. Zabruski. And, you know, she feels bad that, you know, her brother passed away in front of Wesley. And George, like, gives her $10 because he didn't pay for the last lesson. And he said, consider it severance pay or something like that. It's like, oh, my, George, just sit down. So, we have a man up there who actually was Mr. Zabruski's first student. He looks like DePerna. I'm going to look that up. He looks like Mr. DePerna, Kevin's junior high principal. I'm looking it up now. I swear it's him. So he actually plays two characters. Well, here he plays Earl, Mr. Zabruski's first student in Requiem. Then he plays, in season four, he plays another character named Mr. Grant. But I was right! It is Mr. DiPerna from Wonder Years, well, the actor who played him. So, I'm gonna play this clip. As he and the other students play a little number in honor of Mr. Zabruski.
Hi, everybody. My name is Earl Mathias, and I'm very proud to say that I was Mr. Peter Zabriskie's first student. But please, we are not here to honor me. Peter William Zabriskie was born May 1918 in a small cottage in Gdansk, Poland. A cottage filled with music. Peter had 11 brothers and sisters, and every one of them played an instrument, the accordion. In 1924, for reasons that are not entirely clear, the Zabriskie family was forced to flee Poland.
Gee, I wonder why.
Following their expulsion from Canada, the Zabriskies and their accordions found a safe harbor in Pittsburgh, where young Peter could nurture his talent in a climate free from bigotry and fear. But seriously, seated before you, you see Peter Zabriskie's greatest legacy, his students. And as his first student, I am very proud to introduce his last. Wesley?
Hi, I'm Wesley Owens, and we're all going to play Mr. Zabriskie's favorite song. I mean, it must have been, because he made me practice it so much. I used to think he was just a mean old man, but now I realize he was just trying to be a good teacher. And I'm sorry he died. And I'm sorry I killed him.
So Earl was Mr. Zabruski's first student, and Wesley was his last student. So he just kind of, Earl gives a brief history about Mr. Zabruski, Peter Zabruski, and his 11 siblings, and how they all played the accordion. And in 1924, they were forced to leave Poland. They were also exiled out of Canada, or told to leave there. Then they found a home in Pennsylvania or Pittsburgh. So, yeah. And Wesley, of course, apologizes. You know, I thought he was a mean old man, but it turns out he was just a really good teacher. Even this was his favorite song, and it's a polka, you know, a polka song. And my grandpa, my dad's dad, loved polka. He loved watching Lawrence Welk. He loved listening to Paul Harvey on the radio and all that stuff. But yeah, I definitely remember like going to St. Patrick's. The last Sunday in June would be the St. Patrick's Festival, and they had polka music playing and stuff like that. So, and of course, Wesley adds that he feels bad, even though he killed him. Killed Mr. Zabruski, and everyone's kind of looking at him like, what? And then so they start playing, and this is when George and Marcia look at Belvedere like, did you know about this? And Belvedere's just kind of clapping along, and he's like, after, just let's listen to the music. I like this, as they start clapping along and everything. So now it's the next scene after the funeral. George and Marcia are going to kind of talk to Wesley, you know, say, hey, you did a great job up there and everything. And I think they're going to bring up what he meant about killing Mr. Zabruski.
Hi, honey.
Hi, Wes.
Hi. Everybody liked your song.
Yeah. Your mom and I almost got up and danced. And that was a real nice thing you said about Mr. Zabruski.
Except the part about killing him. That kind of threw us for a loop.
Mr. Belvedere told us everything.
That's okay.
Look, you didn't do anything to old Pete. You're probably feeling a little bad because you didn't practice. And you were a little hard on the guy. And you played terrible.
Next.
But you didn't kill him.
Sure.
Honey, what you're thinking isn't that unusual. Lots of kids feel the way you do, that when someone dies, it's their fault.
It was!
Wesley, honey, you cannot make someone die by wishing it.
That's for sure. I mean, if you could, he would have been dead 30 years ago.
I mean, when you were a kid taking lessons, you wish the same thing about Mr. Zabriskie?
What accordion player in Pittsburgh didn't? Don't stop squeezing.
See, honey?
See, you're not such a bad kid after all.
I guess not.
You ready to go home now?
In a minute, I gotta put my accordion away.
Okay, pal. You take your time. Your mom and I will be outside.
Everything all right?
Yep. I think I'm glad I came. I mean, I played the best I've ever played, and that probably made Mr. Zabriskie happy, at least a little.
Oh, I'm sure it did.
Shall we?
In a second.
Saying goodbye?
No. I wished him alive.
Doesn't work that way, does it?
Nope. Think we can stop for ice cream on the way home?
So Belvedere did tell George and Marshall what was going on with Wesley. The guilt he was feeling, thinking that he caused Mr. Zabriskie's death. And they did tell Wesley, it's like, you can't kill somebody by wishing they're dead, you know. And Marshall even says, you know, this is a thing, you know, kids, you know, often people feel guilty, you know, when someone dies and they're close to, like, they feel sometimes like maybe they caused it. And, so they said, you know, take your time because he's got to get his instrument put away and everything. And Belvedere kind of comes up and says, hey, how you doing? Are you saying goodbye? And Wesley's like, no, I'm wishing him alive. And Belvedere's like, I'm sorry, you can't do that. It doesn't work that way. And they, you know, walk down the aisle and everything. And Wesley, of course, like, hey, do you think we stop for ice cream on the way home? And, of course, there's an applause. And that's the end of the episode there. I thought this episode was handled. Earl comes up and says to Wesley, if that were true, if you could wish him dead, he would have been dead 30 years ago because I wish him dead all the time. And so Wesley learns that, you know, that you can't wish somebody dead and then they die. You can't do that. And he knows, you know, he's not the only one that wished that. So, you know, this was a good episode. I thought it did good with, you know, talking about death and in a way that young kids can understand and all that good stuff. So let's hear what Mr. Belvedere has to say.
Unfortunately, Wesley's first confrontation with human mortality has proven to be a healthy and enlightening experience. How ironic that what I feared might be a continuing ordeal for young Wesley has instead become one for the rest of us. I don't know exactly who Van Halen is, but bless them.
So I guess Wesley is still sticking with the accordion, which we do see in another episode that I covered called Vows, as he is playing in George and Marcia for their renewing of their wedding vows. We hear that again. So I don't know after that whether he continues it. I'm not sure. But Mr. Belvedere puts headphones on and he's going to play Van Halen because it'll help drown out the accordion. How about not playing that long into the night, like, give it a rest after a while. You know, play for an hour a day or something, or a half hour a day or something like that. So it's not disruptive to other people. As far as for the Mr. Belvedere teacup rating, I'm going to give this one... I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5. What I liked about it, I liked... Marcia getting books from the library to kind of help with Wesley dealing with stuff. I liked that Wesley admitted what the issue was to Mr. Belvedere, and Mr. Belvedere kept his confidence. I liked at the end with Wesley and the other kids and Earl all playing the accordion in honor of Mr. Zabruski. What I didn't like, I didn't really care for George, like, stuffing Wesley's face with food as a way to avoid talking about death. I really didn't care for the B plot, which was Heather in the high heels. That was kind of like, a little overkill for that. As far as for Mr. Belvedere's biscuit bites, there are so many ways and resources nowadays to talk to your children about death when a loved one passes away. And just what the child may be feeling and everything. Just know, let them know that you are there if they want to talk. Don't push it, because then they're going to get scared off. Just let them come to you. And just tell them in the most simplest way and answer whatever the questions they have. You don't gotta go into huge detail. Just give them the information that they need and they'll move on. And just let them know that if they are feeling guilt like Wesley was in this episode, just let them know that it's okay to feel guilt. You know, it's with the feelings and everything like that, but just know that you didn't cause this person's death. So, yeah. And that is the episode. So next week we will be dealing with Wesley's last episode of season 2. This episode is season 2, episode 16, entitled Wesley's Friend, which aired on January 31st, 1986. Wesley is supposed to play William Howard Taft in the school's President's Day pageant, but an opening to play Abraham Lincoln comes up. When the boy who was supposed to play Lincoln, Wesley's friend Danny, has been pulled out of school because he got AIDS from a blood transfusion. Not knowing anything about the virus, Wesley believes what his friends tell him about it and becomes afraid of Danny. Well, that's because these children and the parents, they're all reacting on fear alone. They're making assumptions. They're... Were resources back then not nearly as much as you have now when it comes to AIDS and HIV and how you can contract it? Around this time, I believe Ryan White, the boy who passed from AIDS when he was 19, I believe he got it when he was it 12 or 13 that he got it from a blood transfusion, just like Danny here. I believe Danny is also a hemophiliac like Ryan White was, so I think maybe they might be pulling from that just because AIDS was really just blown, like, it was talked about everywhere, you know, like, people did specials and stuff like that, and it's just, yeah, it's, there's resources out there now for children to understand what AIDS is, how it's contracted, and everything like that. Because back in the 80s, everyone was scared to death. Like, you could touch it, you could get it by holding hands with somebody, or them breathing on you, and this and that. It's like, no, that is not how that is contracted. But yeah, we will be diving into that next week. So, look forward to that episode. I hope you all have a wonderful Tuesday afternoon. And we are going to be coming into summer shortly. So, have a great day, everybody.